LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24.
This is Colonel Ike Dubaku. We have the CIP device. We demand the complete withdrawal of the U.S. Naval Strike Force by this time tomorrow.
You are recalling the invasion force.
Now that determination has yet to be made.
I implore you, do not abandon my country.
It's Samantha Roth. She says she has new information regarding my son's death.
Roger was tasked with auditing the brokers in his department. He uncovered other blind accounts, accounts that were traced to a senior member of your wife's administration. It's all here. Account numbers, trading records, everything that he knew.
Bauer must have worked out this escape with Almeida's people.
That son of a bitch played me, had me believing the Bureau was compromised. Someone on the inside working against us. I realize now it was him all along.
He played us both.
I'm gonna make this right, Larry. Whatever it takes, I will find Bauer and Almeida. You're out of time, Mr. Tanner. Tell me what you know.
I'm not gonna tell you a damn thing.
Where is Almeida? Tanner says Almeida's crew has a plan to abduct him.
Former Prime Minister of Sangala.
Matobo?
When?
Pretty much now.
Why didn't you call the authorities?
He couldn't, Jack.
Why not?
He found out Emerson's client was Dubaku.
That's who you believe has agents inside the government.
Dubaku's the key to this thing, Jack. If we're gonna uncover the conspiracy, we have to get to him before he leaves the U.S.
I got away from the FBI.
Yeah, I heard. I also heard it was Jack Bauer who broke you out.
He's on board now. Baggage is a person.
Former Prime Minister Matobo Sangala.
Simon is to grab him, deliver him to Colonel Dubaku.
Where's Matobo? Where is he? It's a safe room, reinforced concrete.
Jack, we leave here without Matobo, we lose our only chance of getting into Dubaku.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 1 p.m.
Matobo's security chief said there's a safe room at his residence. They should have him and his wife locked down by now. They'll be safe till your team gets there. Your priority is to grab Almeida and bring him back here.
We'll make every effort to use non-lethal force, but Almeida's crew is ex-military. They're going to be hard to subdue unless my men can return fire.
I understand you'll be exposing your men, but it's a risk you need to take.
Sir.
Almeida is the only viable lead we've got to retrieve the CIP device. You need to bring him in alive. Is that understood?
Understood.
Let's move out. We'll get our updates in the van.
Emerson kicks Itoho.
Open the safe room. I'll keep going until you open the door.
I've already told you. Once it's closed, you can only open it from the inside. Do whatever you want to me. But you'll never get into that room.
Tony crosses to where Jack rips down plasterboard.
We've got to get Matobo. Without him, we've got nothing.
I know.
Jack peers into the roof space above the safe room.
Find a way in yet?
No.
Lit fact, any luck
reconnecting the intercom?
Not yet. I'm working on it.
Lit fact continues working at the complicated junction box. At FBI HQ, a blonde woman approaches Larry Moss.
Sir, this just came
I'm
in.
In the middle of a field op, Eric. I don't really have a lot of time right
it's
now.
It's from the Attorney General. I think you should make time for this.
What is it?
Tanner's lawyers are filing a complaint against the Bureau.
Larry flicks through the file she has handed him. His face contorts in anger and exasperation. Throwing down the file, he dials out on his mobile. 12:04, Renee drives her large silver SUV through the streets of Washington.
Walker.
Renee, it's me.
I'm less than 15 minutes away from Matoba's house. When I get there, I'll recon for the tech team.
Stop a second.
What?
This information about Matobo being abducted. Tell me how you got it.
You know how I got it. I questioned Tanner.
You questioned him?
Yeah.
Tanner's lawyers are saying you locked him out of his hospital room, then cut off his ventilator. They said you applied pressure to his gunshot wound.
We needed Almeida's location. Tanner was not about to cooperate.
So you tortured him?
Renee's eyes widen impatiently.
What the hell were you thinking?
I got the information we needed.
Information that may not even be valid. You know as well as I do, a coercive interrogation is unreliable.
No, Tanner was not lying.
You know that. How do you know he wasn't just telling you what you wanted to hear?
Well, I'll find out when I get to Matoba's house.
No, you're not going to Matoba's. You're coming back here to the office. The Attorney General is sending somebody here. You're going to tell him everything that happened.
What? Larry, it's my fault that Bauer and Almeida are still at large. Please, let me play this out. I will deal with the consequences after we find the CIP device.
No, the field team is on the way. They can handle this. Renee, get back here now.
I'm sorry, Larry, but I need to make this right.
Renee?
Renee cuts the call short. Larry is fuming.
Oh my God.
He walks purposefully away past where Sean sits talking on the phone.
Glad you're all right, babe.
But the flight attendant said something about us getting a priority clearance to land.
You got lucky.
Did I? I mean, it happened just after we spoke, so I thought maybe you had something to do with it.
Me? How could I have done anything? Listen, I'd be late tonight. There's a lot going on at work.
I haven't seen you in a week. I thought we could spend some time together. Dinner and maybe, you know.
Sorry, I have to go. I have to get back to work. Call me later.
Okay.
Did you deploy the field teams?
Yeah, they just left. We need to coordinate with Matoba security chief. Get him back on the line.
In the safe room, Mrs. Matoba sits looking bleakly at her husband as he puts the receiver of the phone to his ear once more. It is clearly still dead.
These people, they work for Dubaku, don't they?
Possibly. Yes, probably. But if they wanted me dead, I'll be dead.
Then what do they want?
Names.
Names?
Of my allies inside Sangala.
You would die before you expose them. They know that.
Yes, they do, but...
He looks down uncomfortably.
Then it's me. It's me. They want to use me to get you to talk.
Don't worry. We'll be safe in here until they leave.
Ule, I'm scared.
Alama, listen to me. We need to stay calm. We'll be fine. The FBI knows we're here. They'll come for us soon.
They turn warily to where Emerson talks on the screen.
I know you can see and hear me. Go out now. Nobody has to get hurt.
You're wasting your time.
12:07. Emerson holds a gun to Itoho's head.
Come out now or I will kill your man. You have 1 minute.
Almeida and Litvak look on as Emerson levels the gun at Itoho's perspiring forehead.
50.
I am prepared to die, sir.
For you and for Sangala.
The Matobos look on, horrified.
Eto is right. Without you, Sangala has no leader. The people need you.
Seconds.
Eto's courage is stronger than your threats. He's willing to die. And for that sacrifice, he has my eternal gratitude and the gratitude of the people of Sangala.
10 seconds.
Time's up.
Emerson pauses at the sound of the phone. He rifles inside Itoho's jacket and pulls out the mobile. The caller display screen reads, from FBI. Sean stands phoning out. He shrugs to Moss.
I just got through to him 15 minutes ago.
He's not answering now.
Then get me someone else at the residence.
It's the FBI. Does the FBI know we're here?
Emerson smacks the unresponsive Itoho to one side and turns slightly twitchily to Tony.
Tanner. He's the only one who knew we were grabbing Matoba. We must have talked.
Sir, we need to go before they get here.
Not without Matoba.
Those walls are 2 feet thick. Even if we blow a hole with a shape charge, they'll kill everyone inside.
I think I found a way.
Yeah, like what?
We can gas him out.
We don't have anything.
We'll find something. There's a ventilation system running straight into the safe room. If I can feed the gas through that, it'll flush them out. The FBI is coming. They won't be here for at least 15 minutes.
What are you talking about? How do you know?
If they knew anything before we got here, they'd have evacuated Metobo.
It's just guesswork.
Attack teams are staged out of the DC branch office. That's 21 miles from here with traffic. That gives us at least 15 minutes.
We're not leaving without Metobo. That's what DeBlanco's paying us for.
Seriously, considering
that. Shut up!
What kind of gas are you talking about? Ammonium distrate. We can make it from basic household products. Do it. Tony, give me a hand.
Jack and Tony go off together. Emerson glares at Litvak, who shakes his head doubtfully.
Jack, you know ammonium distrate could kill him as easily as flush him out.
It's a chance we're going to have to take. Delivering Metobo is our only chance to get to DeBlanco in the CIP device. I got it. Grab those balls.
12:10, end of part one. Renee speeds through the streets. Emerson looks at his watch and up at the CCTV camera. Inside the safe room, the Metobos look up nervously as Jack works on the ventilation ducts overhead. Emerson moves through into the corridor.
Gotten into the vent yet?
Yeah. The FBI will be here any minute.
Tony hands a glass bowl half full of clear liquid up to Jack. Jack places this inside the ventilation duct. He takes from Tony a plastic spray bottle and a rag to cover his own face. He sprays liquid into the bowl, the contents of which begin to fizz and bubble. Emerson looks at his watch. Tony looks up with a worried expression. Vapor begins to trail up and out of the bowl. Jack closes up the vent. Emerson returns to the intercom.
Mr. Metobo.
We've accessed the air intake to your safe room. We are now feeding in ammonium distrate gas. If you do not open the door, you will die. I believe that you are willing to sacrifice your life. But are you also willing to sentence your wife to death?
The Metobos spot the trail of vapor pouring down through the vent.
Ule.
You know what they will do if you open the door.
I know.
Don't let them force me to name names. Our cause is more important than we are.
Take my hand.
Take my hand.
They desperately try to cover their faces, dropping to their knees as the gas permeates the cell. At FBI HQ, Janice walks briskly through the office.
Janice Gold?
Yes?
I'm Raymond Howell from the Attorney General's office. Is there someplace we can talk?
About?
What happened at the hospital, Miss Gold? Agent Walker's being accused of torturing your suspect.
It's not my suspect. I have no idea what happened after I left that room. I am not involved.
Suspect's attorneys claim that you sent them to the wrong hospital room to buy Agent Walker more time. So it sounds to me like you were involved.
This is going to have to wait. Janice, I need you on calm now.
Agent Moss, the AG personally initiated this investigation.
Hal, open your eyes. We have a situation. She cannot deal with this right now. Please, have a seat. Come here.
What's going on?
We think Almeida and his crew may already be at Metobo's, and we can't reach Renee to warn her.
Why can't you reach her?
When I heard what you did to Tanner, I ordered her back to headquarters to talk to the AG's office, and she refused. Turned off her cell.
Oh.
I need your running point on SWAT.
Okay, thanks.
Dillinger, keep trying to reach Renee.
Sean goes back to his screen. Renee drives more slowly now and pulls up in a well-heeled part of town. On a corner is a huge ivy-clad house. 12:18. She gets out from her vehicle and crosses towards the house, checking her pistol in its holster as she goes. Inside, Litvak is becoming ever more twitchy.
We're running out of time. Put more gas in!
If we do, it'll kill him instantly.
Tony glances at Litvak, who leaves, passing Emerson in the doorway.
How much time is it going to take, Jack?
It's up to them.
The Matobos are desperately close to suffocating.
I can't breathe.
Close your eyes. Let it happen. No, if we that toy will be worse. I love you.
Mrs. Matobo lets go of her husband's hand and crawls painfully to the door. He looks on, horrified, as she reaches for the lock. Emerson and the rest wait as the doors slide open. Jack takes charge of Matobo, helping him out and leaning him up against a wall.
Just breathe, you'll be all right. Just breathe.
Kate, let's go.
Je suis désolée, Ole. I'm so sorry.
12:20. Emerson emerges from the house and moves circumspectly to the street. He opens the rear doors of a large van and the door of a cage within, then beckons to the others.
Let's go.
Jack, Tony and Litvak emerge from the house, leading the Matobos down to the van. Renee, her gun now drawn, moves furtively around the house. She spots the van and the gang loading their captives on board. She opens her phone and calls.
It's Moss.
Larry, it's Renee.
Renee, listen. Bauer and Almeida may already be at Matobo's.
Yeah, they are. I've got a visual on them loading Matobo and his wife into a truck. Where the hell is SWAT?
How long for SWAT? We're still about 5 minutes out. Renee, listen to me. I want you to stand down and fall back until they get there. Do you hear me?
Let me just get a plate on the vehicle.
Drop it down. Renee?
Litvak captures Renee.
Renee! Clear it! Janice, try getting her back. Whose SWAT team will be first on scene?
Remix.
Get him for me now.
Move!
Larry bumps into a staff member.
Mr. Anderson! As far as I can tell, she's alone.
Damn you, Bauer, you son of a bitch.
Jack stares at Renee, his mind seemingly working overtime to come up with a story.
She's FBI. Her name is Walker. She's the one who pulled me out of the Senate hearing to help him find Tony.
Don't be stupid. What are you talking about?
How much does Tanner know about your operation?
Enough to cause problems.
We need to find out from her what he told the FBI. Till then, we do nothing.
He's right, David. We need to make sure nothing else has been compromised.
Get her in the cage.
Don't you touch me. Get your hands off of me.
Shut up, or I will shut you up.
Jack frisks Renee.
She's clean.
Let's go.
Renee is stowed in the cage. Emerson shuts the rear doors. Litvak sits at the wheel. The big, boxy yellow van wallows out from the Matobo's driveway and out onto the street. Tony and Jack sit in the rear preparing their weapons. Emerson sits nearby with his mobile to his ear.
You have Matobo?
Yeah. And the wife, but we ran into a complication.
A complication?
FBI knew about the operation, which means Tanner talked.
I don't like this.
No, neither do I. We got one of their agents with us. Her name's Walker. Need you to check with your source at the Bureau, find out how much she knows.
All right.
If your source doesn't come up with anything, then we'll interrogate her when we get there.
Can't believe I trusted you. You lying son of a bitch.
Jack sits on the other side of the metal grill from Renee, wearing an expression of heroic restraint. 12:23. 12:27. Henry Taylor stares at Sam's USB stick. Agent Geddes speaks on the phone.
This is important, Ian. To him and me.
Thanks, appreciate it.
Any luck?
Yes, sir.
Sorry it took so long, but I tracked down a friend who does crypto for the private sector. Says he should be able to crack the files on the thumb drive, provided the encryption isn't military grade or better.
I doubt Roger would have had access to anything like that.
He also said you'd have a lot easier job if you just went to the NSA.
Not until we know how badly my wife's administration's been compromised.
My friend said he'd meet us at his apartment in 20 minutes.
You trust him?
Yes.
Samantha says the documents will prove my son was murdered.
I'll make sure he understands this can't go anywhere.
Thank you, Brian. I don't know what it's been like. All this time knowing in my bones Roger didn't commit suicide and having people just tolerate me. Tell me it was my grief talking. I'm going to find the people who did this to my son, Brian. And I'm going to make them pay.
Sir, if I may.
What is it?
Shouldn't you at least tell the president what you're doing?
I can't take this to my wife until I can prove it.
Henry gets up. Ethan Kanan enters the president's office.
You wanted to see me?
One thing I've learned, presidents don't make new friends. That's why they lean on their old ones. I'll need your support, Ethan. I'm going to authorize the military operation in Sangala as planned.
Madam President.
You don't need to list the consequences, Ethan. Any action I take in West Africa will likely result in a terrorist attack here. But if I take no action, an entire generation of Sangalans will be wiped out.
Your critics will point out you took an oath to protect the people of this country.
And the way to do that is not give in to blackmail and threats. Ethan, taking a stand against the genocide in Sangala has reestablished our leadership and our moral authority in the eyes of the world. I cannot and I will not back down. Yes?
Madam President, Secretary of State Stevens is here to see you. It's urgent.
Send him in. What is it, Joe?
The FBI just reported that Prime Minister Mutombo and his wife were abducted from their residence.
What? Abducted by whom?
His bodyguards identified Jack Bauer and Tony Almeida as two of the men involved.
Which means Tobacco has the CIP device and Mutombo.
Where's the FBI on finding him? Do they have any active leads?
Not yet, Madam President. They're just beginning the search operation.
I think we need to talk about how Matobo's abduction affects the invasion. Matobo's the only man with enough popular support and strength to lead Sangala after an invasion. Without him, the country would collapse in complete bloodshed and chaos.
Which means the best course of action may be to meet Tobacco's demand and withdraw our forces.
The best course of action is to find Mutombo and the people who took him. And make sure the FBI brings in every relevant agency.
Yes, ma'am.
So, where do we stand with your decision to go through with the invasion?
We still have 30 minutes before Tobacco's deadline. I want Mutombo found by then.
End of part two.
I just sent you new search coordinates. Upload a grid to the ground teams, please.
I already did. They're adjusting their perimeter now.
All right, thanks. Listen, Eric.
What?
Sorry, I was a jerk before.
Worried about your wife on a plane. That's cool.
She's on the ground now. Plane landed, she got lucky.
It's great news. I'm glad she's okay. Hey, Sean. I can't stop thinking about last night.
Yeah, me too.
Excuse me. Sean, I need you to babysit the downloads on my computer. They're coming in from the forensics team at Matobo's residence. Now, please.
Okay, sure.
Erica looks foxily after Sean. Janice knocks at Larry's door.
Excuse me. Remick's team just finished a sweep of the Mutombo residence. He's only two if you want to talk to him.
Janice, wait. Did you find Renee?
No, sir. But one of Matobo's bodyguards saw her being taken by Bauer and Almeida.
And she's alive.
She's with the Mutombos.
We'll run a trace on her cell.
Can't do that, sir. We recovered Agent Walker's phone and weapon on site. Forensics is still sweeping the scene.
All right, I want to be the first to know if they find something.
Yes, sir.
Larry holds his head in his hands.
All right, get Renee's picture and description out to all agencies. Put me in the queue for real-time update.
Okay.
Janice.
I want everybody in this office to make finding her their top priority. Is that understood?
It is. Are you going to be okay?
What are you talking about? Just get to work.
Janice turns to go, leaving Larry sitting at his desk looking very much less than all right. 12:34, the yellow van drives along through an area of suburban scrubland. Renee and the Matobos sit anxiously in the cage.
Sorry, I couldn't protect you, sir.
You have nothing to apologize for.
Jack appears anguished at being seen as the bad guy.
How much are they paying you, Jack? I hope it's enough to live with yourself when they kill innocent Americans with the CIP device.
Shut up.
How many people are going to die because of what you're doing?
Emerson.
You were right. Agent Walker broke Tanner. How much did Tanner spill?
Other than the details of Matobo's abduction, nothing.
You sure?
Positive. Walker is extraneous. Kill her before you get here.
We'll be with you, sir.
And be quick about it. Dubaku's anxious to get his hands on the Prime Minister.
Nichols checked with his source at the Bureau. Walker doesn't know anything that could compromise the operation.
You trust Nichols' source?
Nichols does. It's good enough for me.
Lit back, change of plan. Take a ride on Morrison Avenue.
What's up, Morrison? Abandoned construction site. We'll dump her there.
Shouldn't we find out for ourselves what she knows?
Nichols wants her out of the way before we deliver Matobo.
Emerson goes forward to join Litvak. Jack struggles to retain his composure. Renee sits glumly. 12:35. 12:40. At FBI HQ.
I understand your deployment stretched thin, but one of our own agents is missing. That's a priority, too.
We don't have enough personnel.
Look, I don't care where you find the men. Just get them out there looking.
Yes, sir.
Sean turns to Janice as Larry storms out.
Never seen him like that. He looks like his head's gonna explode.
Thank you. Well, I'm not surprised.
Meaning?
Meaning it's fairly obvious he has feelings for Renee.
Why do you think that?
Instinct. I just know. Stay on task.
Sean prowls away, seemingly absorbing this new insight. He looks across towards Erica. 12:41 at Dubaku's hideout.
No, je comprends. Oui, mon général, je comprends. Je comprends.
He turns on Nichols.
General Druma says the American carrier troops still has not begun to withdraw.
Well, they haven't launched their invasion either.
I gave this president a deadline and it's almost passed. Apparently our demonstration was not convincing enough. This woman is more stubborn than we expected.
Once she realizes we have Matobo, she'll change her mind.
And if she doesn't?
You have the CIP module. Launch another attack. Let's see how stubborn she is after American civilians start dying.
When will Matobo be here?
Within an hour.
What caused the delay?
An FBI agent got in the way. I needed to make sure she hadn't compromised her operation.
But has she?
No. As soon as my men get rid of her, I'll pick up Matobo personally and bring him to you.
Dubaku ponders sinisterly. His eye falls on the CIP device. At a discreet apartment block, Geddes and Taylor get out from a lift on one of the upper floors. Taylor sips from a paper coffee cup.
This friend of yours, are you sure he's going to have everything he needs to access the files?
He said he didn't think it would be a problem.
Thank you, Brian, for all your help and your loyalty.
You don't need to thank me, sir.
Yes, I do. You're risking a lot to do this, especially after what happened this morning.
You can thank me after we confirm the information's on that drive.
So the key should be under the mat.
Geddes pulls back the doormat.
There it is.
Geddes unlocks the door and admits Taylor. 12:42. Replacing the key under the mat, Geddes follows Taylor into the lavish open-plan apartment.
When will your friend be here?
Should be here any minute.
Do you mind turning on the air? It's really hot in here.
Of course.
Taylor throws his coat over a chair and crosses to a side table on which sits several framed photos. His expression clouds.
It's Samantha and Roger.
This is Samantha's apartment, sir.
Geddes pulls on latex gloves as he walks slowly towards Henry.
You.
Sorry, sir.
Why?
Roger was looking into things he shouldn't have. I tried to protect him, too. But he wouldn't let me. He inherited your determination.
You killed my son.
Henry collapses, spilling his coffee and putting a hand to his throat.
You killed Roger.
Geddes kneels by Taylor, picking up the paper cup.
It's tetradiazine, sir. It's a neuromuscular paralytic.
Taylor lies motionless, but with his eyes open.
Don't try to speak. The tetradiazine also paralyzes your vocal cords.
Geddes retrieves the USB stick from Taylor's jacket pocket. He pauses pensively.
If it's any consolation, sir, Roger died quickly. I'm gonna make sure you do too.
Geddes stands up and steps carefully over the spilt coffee. Taylor lies paralyzed on the rug. Geddes pulls out his phone and crosses to the kitchen area. He pulls a knife from the wooden block. A man takes the call in a large parked car.
Situation here is in control. Are you tracking Ms. Roth?
Yeah.
Time to get her back to her apartment.
Are you sure this is gonna work?
It'll work fine. Mr. Taylor came to her apartment to confront her about Roger. Lost his temper, killed her, took his own life, okay?
All right. I'll let you know if there are any problems.
The man gets calmly out of the car and looks across to where Samantha sits alone at a cafe terrace. Taylor's eyes move to watch Geddes returning, holding the knife in his sinisterly gloved hand.
I really am sorry, sir. If only you'd left well enough alone.
12:45. Geddes' accomplice crosses to Samantha.
Ms. Roth.
Agent Voss.
Henry Taylor sent me. Mr. Taylor's been looking into the matter you discussed. He believes you're in imminent danger.
Oh my God. What am I supposed to do?
He wants me to place you in protective custody, escort you to a safe house.
Now?
My orders are to take you there immediately. We can stop at your apartment first. You can pack clothes, essentials.
I just need to call my office.
Not until we get you locked down, ma'am. Please.
Okay. Right this way.
Foster leads Samantha across the busy boulevard back towards his car. 12:46, end of part 3. Part 4, 12:51. Sean approaches Janice.
So it looks like your friend from the AG is still here.
I know.
What's going on?
He wants to talk to me about what Renee did to Tanner in the hospital.
What did Renee do to Tanner at the hospital?
I don't know, but Hal's claiming she tortured Tanner.
Renee? I don't believe that.
Maybe you should. Tanner wasn't talking, and she kicked me out of the room, and then the next thing I know, the alarm on his ventilator's going off.
And Renee had the information she needed.
Mm-hmm.
Sean sits conspiratorially at Janice's desk.
If you weren't in the room, you don't have a problem.
I do, actually. She asked me to stall his lawyers.
And you did?
Yes.
Come on, Gold, what were you thinking?
She gave me a direct order. What was I supposed to do?
Say no. Do you realize if they prove that Renee tortured him, you're an accessory, and Larry is not going to protect you?
I know.
Let's just hope the AG will have moved on to something else when this is all over.
Sean casts a glance towards the AG official.
I'm getting back to work.
The man from the Attorney General's office knocks at Larry's door.
Agent Moss.
What do you want?
Forgive my interruption, but it's just been brought to my attention that Agent Walker is missing.
Yes, she may have been abducted by the same people responsible for kidnapping Motobo and his wife.
Very sorry to hear that. And I want you to know that I appreciate the enormous pressure that you and the Bureau are under.
Glad to hear it.
Nevertheless, the Attorney General is still pressing for a full account of Agent Walker's handling of the Tanner interrogation. And at this moment, Janice Gold is the only witness available to me.
She's not available to you, Howell. I already told you, she can't be spared right now.
Well, I only need a short time with her.
Can't have her.
Are you going to force me to get the AG on the line?
You've got to be kidding me. You really want to press this right now? We're in the middle of an international crisis.
I'm aware of that.
And all you seem interested in is condemning the actions of an agent who's in God knows what danger just so you can nail her to the wall.
If Agent Walker broke federal guidelines and used illegal tactics to get information, then yes, she will be prosecuted.
Then maybe you can let us get her back first before you throw her to the wolves. I mean, if that's okay with you. Yes.
Larry. NSA just relayed a call they intercepted to us. Renee was referenced.
Referenced how? Janice?
I think you need to come hear it yourself.
I'll be right there. Excuse me.
We're not done here. Agent Moss!
Did you source it?
5 minutes ago. It's legit.
Check it again.
I already did twice.
Where's the intercept code?
Right there above the decryption algorithm. Routed it to us on a priority channel.
Were we able to get verbal confirmation?
It's not going to change the content of the call, Jeff.
I know. I...
What's on the NSA intercept?
What? You said Renee was referenced. What's on it?
It's only a fragment, but she's referenced yet.
Enough to get a GPS base?
Clip's not even 20 seconds long. The best we can say is that it's in the metro area.
Lance.
Larry appears distraught.
When was this call made?
10 minutes ago.
Run a trace.
I already did.
Run it again!
Sean pulls up a screen. Red grid lines scan a map. The yellow van bounces onto an abandoned building site. Renee sits glumly in the cage.
Jack.
12:55. Jack gets up and crosses to Emerson.
The ditch.
Killer.
Yeah.
Tony.
Tony gets up and follows Jack. They walk around to the rear of the van. Jack opens up the doors.
Step down. Step down.
He grabs the resistant Renee and walks her past the cab of the van.
You could either walk or I can drag you.
You're really gonna kill me. I'm not gonna beg for my life, Jack.
Tony looks on. Emerson and Litvak look keenly on also. Jack moves with Renee towards a ditch by which is parked a mechanical digger.
So everything that you told me was a lie.
I'm doing what I have to. I don't expect you to understand.
I understand that you are a traitor and a murderer.
Turn around.
You're gonna have to look at me when you pull that trigger.
Then turn around. Trust me, I will get you through this alive. Get on your knees.
Jack forces Renee onto her knees on the edge of the ditch and pulls out his pistol. Emerson exchanges a look with Tony as Jack appears to be preparing to shoot Renee in the head. She falls forward and lies still. Jack walks over and kicks her into the ditch. Her neck is bleeding, but her eyes are open and she glances up at him as he crosses to fetch a sheet of polythene, which he drapes over her. He walks grimly back towards the van where Emerson and Litvak sit looking complacently at the scene. Jack hands the pistol back to Emerson.
Second there, I didn't think you were going to do it. Now bury her.
We're on a timetable.
Can't have anyone finding the body before we're out of the country. Give him a hand, Tony.
Jack and Tony cross to the ditch. Emerson and Litvak look on malevolently as the pair grab shovels. Renee looks up in terror through the polythene sheeting as Tony and Jack begin shoveling soil on top of her. Dubaku paces impatiently in his hideout. Geddes props Henry Taylor up on the sofa in Sam's apartment. Emerson continues to stare intently as Jack and Tony bury Renee. She is near panic as they reach her face. The first shovelful lands, making her blink. She looks upwards through the misted polythene to where Jack prepares to toss the shovelful, which casts her into darkness. 1 p.m. The end.